4. Kelsier was nowhere in particular when God finally died. He couldn't place the location. No town nearby, at least not one that hadn't been buried in ash. He had intended to head toward Luthadel, but with all the landmarks covered over, and with no sun to guide him, he wasn't certain he'd been going the right direction. The land trembled, the misty ground quivering. Kelsier pulled up short, looking at the sky, at first expecting that ruin was causing this tremor. Then he felt it. Perhaps it was the small connection he had to preservation from his time at the Well of Ascension. Or maybe it was the peace inside him that the god had placed, the peace inside them all, the light of the soul. Whatever the reason, Kelsier felt the end like a long, drawn-out sigh. It sent a chill up his spine, and he scrambled to find a thread of preservation. They had been all over the ground earlier in his trip, but now he found nothing.
"Fuzz!" he screamed. "Preservation!"
"Kelsier,"
the voice vibrated through him.
"Goodbye."
"Hell, Fuzz," Kelsier said, searching the sky. "I'm sorry, I..."
He swallowed.
"Odd," the voice said. "After all these years appearing for others as they died, I never expected that my own passing would be so cold and lonely."
"I'm here for you," Kelsier said.
"No, you weren't. Kelsier, he's splitting my power. He's breaking it apart. It will be gone, splintered. He'll destroy it."
"Like hell he will,"
Kelsier said, dropping his pack. He reached inside, gripping the glowing orb filled with liquid.
"It's not for you, Kelsier,"
Preservation said.
"It's not yours. It belongs to another."
"I'll get it to her," Kelsier said, taking up the sphere.
He drew in a deep breath, then used Nash's knife to smash the orb, spraying his arm and body with the glowing liquid. Lines like threads burst out of him, glowing, effulgent. Like the lines from burning steel or iron, except they pointed at everything.
"Kelsier,"
Preservation said, his voice strengthening,
"do better than you have before. They called you their god, and you were casual with their faith. The hearts of men are not your toys."
Kelsier licked his lips. "I understand, my lord."
"Do better, Kelsier,"
Reservation commanded, his voice fading.
"If the end comes, get them below ground. It might help. And remember what I told you so long ago. Do what I cannot, Kelsier. Survive."
The word vibrated through him, and Kelsier gasped. He knew that feeling, remembered that exact command. He'd heard that voice in the pits, waking him, driving him forward, saving him. Kelsier bowed his head as he felt Preservation fade, finally, and stretch into the darkness. Then, full of borrowed light, Kelsier seized the threads spinning around him and pulled. The power resisted. He didn't know why. He had only a rudimentary understanding of what he was doing. Why did the power attune to some people and not others? Well, he'd pulled on stubborn anchors before. He yanked with all his might, drawing the power toward him. It struggled, defying him almost like it was alive. Until it broke, flooding into him, and Kelsier, the survivor of death, ascended. With a cry of exultation, he felt the power flow through him, like allomancy 100 times over, a feverish, molten, burning energy that washed through his soul. He laughed, rising into the air, expanding, becoming everywhere and everything.
"What is this?"
Ruin's voice demanded. Kelsier found himself confronted by the opposing god, their forms extending into eternity. One, the icy coolness of life, frozen, unmoving. The other, the scrabbling, crumbling, violent blackness of decay. Kelsier grinned as he felt utter and complete shock from ruin. "What was it," Kelsier asked, "that you said before? Anything I can do, you will counter? How about this?" Ruin raged, power flaring in a cyclone of anger. The persona cracked apart, revealing the thing, the raw energy that had plotted and planned for so long, only to be stopped now. Kelsier's grin widened, and he imagined, with delight, the sensation of ripping apart this monster that had killed preservation. This useless, outdated waste of energy. Crushing it would be so satisfying. He willed his boundless power to attack. And nothing happened. Preservation's power resisted him still. It shied away from his murderous intent, and push though he would, he couldn't make it hurt Ruin. His enemy vibrated, quivering, and the shaking became a sound like laughter. The churning dark mists recovered, transforming back into the image of a deific man stretching through the sky.
"Oh, Kelsier," Ruin cried. "You think I mind what you have done? Why, I'd have chosen for you to take the power. It's perfect. You're merely an aspect of me, after all."
Kelsier gritted his teeth, then stretched forth fingers made of rushing wind as if to grab Ruin and throttle him. The creature merely laughed louder.
"You can barely control it," Ruin said. "Even assuming it could harm me, you couldn't accomplish such a task. Look at you, Kelsier. You haven't form or shape. You're not alive. You're an idea. A memory of a man holding the power will never be as potent as a real one with ties to all three realms."
Ruin shoved him aside with ease, though Kelsier felt a crackling at the thing's touch. These powers reacted to one another like flame and water. That made Kelsier certain there was a way to use the power he held to destroy Ruin, if he could figure it out. Ruin turned his attention from Kelsier, and so Kelsier took to trying to acquaint himself with the power. Unfortunately, each thing he tried was met with resistance, both from Ruin's energy and from the power of preservation itself. He could see himself now, in the spiritual realm, and those black lines were still there, tying him to Ruin. The power he held didn't like that at all. It tumbled inside him, churning, trying to break free. He could hold on, but he knew that if he let go, it would escape him, and he would never be able to recapture it. Still, it was grand to be more than just a spirit. He could see into the physical realm again, though metal continued to glow brightly to his eyes. It was a relief to be able to see something other than misty shadows and glowing souls. He wished that view were more encouraging. Endless seas of ash, very few cities, dug out like craters. Burning mountains that spewed not only ash but lava and brimstone. The land had cracked, creating rifts. He tried not to think of that, but of the people. He could feel them like he felt the very crust and core of the planet. He easily found which ones had souls that were open to him, and eagerly he swung down in. Surely among these he could find one who could deliver a message to Vin. Yet they didn't seem to be able to hear him, no matter how he whispered to them. It was frustrating and baffling. He held the powers of eternity. How could he have lost the ability he'd had before, the ability to communicate with his people? Around him, Ruin laughed.
"You think your predecessor didn't try that?"
Ruin asked.
"Your power cannot leak through those cracks, preservation. It tries too hard to shore them up, to protect them. Only I can widen cracks."
Whether his reasoning was correct or not, Kelsier couldn't tell. But he did confirm time and time again that madmen could no longer hear him. However, now he could hear people. Everyone, not just the mad. He could hear their thoughts like voices, their hopes, their worries, their terrors. If he focused too long on them, directed his attention to a city, the multitude of thoughts threatened to overwhelm him. It was a buzz, a rush, and he found it difficult to separate individuals from the mess. Above it all, land, cities, ash, hung the mists. They coated everything, even in the daytime. While trapped entirely in the cognitive realm, he hadn't seen how pervasive they were.
That's power, he thought, gazing upon it. My power. I should be able to hold that, manipulate it.
He couldn't. That left Ruin far stronger than he was. Why had Preservation left the mists untouched like that? It was still part of him, of course, but it was like a diffused army, spread as scouts throughout the kingdom rather than gathered for war. Ruin wasn't so inhibited. Kelsier could see his power at work now, revealed in ways that had been too grand for him to recognize before ascending. Ruin ripped open the tops of ash mounts, holding them pried apart, letting death spew forth. He touched Kolos all across the Empire, driving them to murderous frenzies. When they ran out of people to kill, he gleefully turned them against one another. He had hold of multitude people in every remaining city. His machinations were incredible, complex, subtle. Kelsier couldn't even follow all the threads, but the result was obvious. Chaos. Kelsier could do nothing about it. He held unimaginable power, yet he was still impotent. But importantly, Ruin had to act to counter him. That was an important revelation. He and Ruin were both everywhere. Their souls were the very bones of the planet. But their attention, that could only be divided so far. If Kelsier tried to change things where Ruin was focused, he always lost. When Kelsier tried to stop the ash mounts, Ruin's arms ripping them open were stronger than his trying to seal them. When he tried to bolster Vin's armies with a sense of encouragement, Ruin acted like a blockade, keeping him away. In a desperate attempt, he made a push to approach Vin herself. He wasn't certain what he could do, but he wanted to try battering Ruin away, push himself, and see what he was capable of doing. He threw everything he had into it, straining against Ruin, feeling the friction of their essences meeting as he drew nearer to Vin, who was locked in a room within the Palace of Phadrex. His essence meeting Ruin's caused shocks through the land, trembles, an earthquake. He was able to draw close. He could feel Vin's mind, hear her thoughts. She knew so little, like he had known so little when he'd begun this. She didn't know about Preservation. The clashing pushed Kelsier's essence away, ripping Preservation back from him, exposing his core, like a grinning skull as the flesh was torn free. A soul lined with darkness, but which was connected to Vin somehow, tied to her by the inscrutable lines that made up the spiritual realm.
"Vin!"
he shouted, in agony, straining. The fight between him and Ruin caused the earthquake to intensify, and Ruin exulted in that destruction. It weakened his attention for a brief moment.
"Vin,"
Kelsier said, getting closer.
"Another god, Vin. There's another force."
Confusion. She didn't see. Something leaked from Kelsier, drawing toward her, and with a shock, Kelsier saw a terrible sight, something he'd never suspected. A glowing spot of metal in Vin's ear, so similar to the color of her brilliant soul that he had missed it until he'd gotten very close. Vin was spiked.
"What's the first rule of allomancy, Vin?"
Kelsier screamed.
"The first thing I taught you."
Vin looked up. Had she heard?
"Spikes, Vin,"
Kelsier began.
"You can't trust—"
Ruin returned and shoved Kelsier with a fierce burst of power, interrupting him. To hold on longer would have meant letting Ruin rip the power of Preservation away from him completely, and so he let himself go. Ruin shoved him out of the building, out of the city entirely. Their clash brought incredible pain to Kelsier, and he couldn't help bearing the impression that, divine though he was limping as he left the city. Ruin was too focused on this place, too strong here. He had almost all of his attention pointed at Vin and this city of Fadrix. He was even bringing in Marsh. Maybe. Kelsier tried to get close to Marsh, focusing his attention on his brother. Those same lines were there as had been with Vin. Lines of connection linking Kelsier's soul to his brother. Perhaps he could get through to Marsh, too. Unfortunately, Ruin spotted this too easily, and Kelsier was too weakened, too sore, from the previous clash. Ruin rebuffed him with ease, but not before Kelsier heard something emanating from Marsh.
"Remember yourself," Marsh's thoughts whispered. "Fight, Marsh. Fight. Remember who you are."
Kelsier felt a swelling of pride as he fled from Ruin. Something within Marsh, something of his brother, had survived. However, there was nothing Kelsier could do to help now. Whatever Ruin wanted in Fadrix, Kelsier would have to let him have it. To confront Ruin here was impossible, for Ruin could best Kelsier in a direct confrontation. Fortunately, Kelsier had made a career of knowing when to avoid a fair fight. The con was on, and when the house guard was alert, your best bet was to lie low for a while. Ruin watched Fadrix so intently, it would leave chinks elsewhere.